when you dig deeper, it's a engagement gap. It's a feeling like I belong here gap. It's an early skills preparation gap. In some cases, it's a gap in having the necessities that children need to live, from food and clothes to stability at home. You know, I would suggest that as a community here in Pittsfield and in the Berkshires, I'm not certain that our state has been as successful, although I think there is a vision there to do it, at closing those other gaps, some of those societal gaps that lead to the achievement gap as it's measured in school. I think that's really a good part of the work of the current Pittsfield administration, the past Pittsfield's administration, and certainly our future administration led by me is, you know, what are these gaps really, and how do we as a community go about closing those gaps so the learning gap and the achievement gap and the what am I prepared to do after high school gaps all get smaller as well.
The new Secretary of Education, Matthew Malone, was in Pittsfield just recently, yeah. Pushing for the governor's education budget, which is to pay for a lot of his investments in education, and he's calling for an increase in the income tax and other adjustments to the tax code. So what are your thoughts on that? Is that the right way to go?
I had the great opportunity to spend a couple of sessions with Secretary Malone. He gave up a good part of his afternoon at Berkshire Community College to really address that one of his primary roles is to get out and sell this budget. I very much admire our governor's leadership and his vision on approaching education in Massachusetts as something that starts at birth and that in some ways never ends. We're talking what do kids need from birth through preschool, through K through 12, through what we sometimes refer to as the next set of grades, you know, looking at K through 14, K through 16, and then job training beyond. You know, tax increases, I've been around long enough both as a taxpayer and as an educator to know that money does not solve all of our problems. It really doesn't. It's not a solution in and of itself. The strategic spending of money and the targeted spending of money in appropriate ways that really make movement for young people and for communities has to be done. It's an investment.
It looks like sequestration is now upon us, or will be, you know, part of that, and part of the report that was released by the White House had some of the colossal cuts to education aid to the Commonwealth. And I was wondering, you know, if that's been in your mind, if you're prepared to, you know, deal with that?
Oh, it's certainly been in my mind, you know, as the superintendent of a small district that receives very little federal aid, it's a concern. You know, so sitting in my office in Lee thinking through what does this mean for us now, there's a concern, but it's not a devastating concern. If you ramp up to look at some of the gateway cities and some of the larger districts, particularly the large urban districts and even small urban districts like Pittsfield, there's a much larger dependence on federal monies, on Title I, on special ed monies that come through from the federal government, where some of our neighboring small districts don't depend that heavily on these. So I feel like in looking forward for the city of Pittsfield, a lot of the stuff that we use to educate kids is nice, and it's necessary to have materials and equipment and technology in front of students. I firmly believe with all my head and my heart that the real power of education comes from people. So in approaching what may be some fairly devastating budget cuts in terms of federal money, I think we have to approach it that we want to protect and maintain the people who go into classrooms every day and go into the front entrances of schools and work directly with kids and for kids. and look if we can protect as much of that. We can live without certain material things, but we really have to protect the people. And that's not to say if the sequestration creates the havoc for K-12s as they're impacted by the federal government that we're anticipating, there's certainly going to be a loss of people, particularly in larger districts. But as much as we can mitigate that and make instructional work and instructional people our top priority, we'll certainly be able to figure a way through it.